greetings to all of you, all the nuns in Bodh Gaya, all the laymen, laywomen in various countries. To all of you, give my greetings. For myself and the Sangha here, we feel very happy, delighted that you're interested in the Dhamma, in the teachings of the fully self-awakened Buddha. We have this time period together from today onward, many days. We have this opportunity to gather together to study about that which we have doubts so that we can understand that better. And that which we understand already, we can make it more clear in our minds. In this way, all our doubts are able to reduce or be dispelled, because doubt is an obstacle in Dhamma practice. And when doubts fade, we have this faith and belief with wisdom, and then the fruits of practice come faster. And so we have this opportunity to come practice online together, which is very convenient in present day society. If we tried to all travel together to come to one location, then that wouldn't be easy. So this is a good opportunity we have. It's a blessing in our life, a blessing to listen to the Dhamma, to study the Dhamma, to practice the Dhamma. And if, whether we understand or don't understand, we still practice. For instance, right now, we're speaking Thai, and you may not understand the Thai language. So in that time when the Thai is being spoken, you can watch your breath, recite Bhutto. It's not a waste of time. Make the mind peaceful and collect it in samadhi. And then when the Thai is translated to English, then you listen again. In this way, you get to practice two ways. In the first step, you listen, bring the mind to samadhi, to collectedness. And in the second, you contemplate to give rise to wisdom. And you use patient endurance as well. Some of you are from countries far away, like England, different countries in Europe, like Switzerland. And you'd wake up early to join this session. It's a 6 or 7 hour time difference in some of those countries. We're in Peru. And so all of you have this sincere application of mind. You use patient endurance to come study the Dhamma. In this way, all of you can gain deeper understanding in the Dhamma of the fully self-awakened Buddha. So may you all realize that. So may you all set your hearts on the listening to the Dhamma on this first day of our online retreat together, from the 20th to the 27th of March. And in Thai, this retreat, call it the Oprom Prat Kamatan. And so this word Prat could mean that which is high or supreme, Kamatana meaning a place of work. So it's the place of our most important work, our highest work. And so we say all together, it's training the mind in the highest work. So you cultivate these qualities of mindfulness, recollection, sampajanya, clear knowing. And if we have these two qualities to a high degree, then we'll develop to a high degree. They bring us close to the Lord Buddha, give rise to wisdom. And so today, we have this quality of faith, belief, inspiration with wisdom. We have faith in the Buddha, the one with supreme wisdom, who is able to achieve victory over the defilements through this deep wisdom, was able to destroy ignorance and become the fully self-awakened Buddha. And the Buddha has this immense, great compassion that the Buddha cultivated for a long time to a high degree in order to come teach all of us. And the Buddha has a pure mind, what we call arahant, which is one who is far from the defilements. And this is something that the Buddha awakened to of his own accord. So when we have belief in this, this is our right view. We believe in merit, believe in demerit, believe in this life and the next, believe in karma, the law of action that we've done, karma we've done in the past, which leads to creating new karma in the present. So we set our hearts on this practice today. And this indicates or means that we've done merit in the past, that we've been interested in practice in the past, whether it was yesterday or last month or last year or many years ago, that we can remember, or it's from a past life that we've had this interest before. So we see that there's these causes in the past that give rise to result in the present. And in the present, then we build new causes. We make new causes in the present through Dhamma practice. Because we see that the mind that lacks wisdom is covered over by the power of the defilements and proliferates about all kinds of goodness and evil. And if the mindfulness isn't enough, this leads to action of body or speech. So this is one with weak mindfulness. The mindfulness is quite weak. And if there is greed, then this leads to action that's against the precepts or against virtue. Or if there is aversion, this leads to unvirtuous behavior. Or delusion leads to unvirtuous behavior. And this leads to getting addicted to drugs of various kinds, lacking mindfulness and hurting or killing living beings, or other kinds of unvirtuous behavior like stealing or lying. So in the beginning, we have this good strength of heart and mind to undertake the five precepts. And this is something that's very important, this practice of the five precepts. We practice it all the time. This gives us the strength and energy, the foundation to understand the Dhamma. Because we see that samadhi, this quality of collectedness, arises firstly from virtue. And some who have undertaken virtue for a long time, they might ask, well, why don't I yet have samadhi? We see that samadhi that's firm and well established ceases the busyness of mind, the busyness of mind that's proliferating about merit and demerit. So we see that the mind that's not trained yet chases after all the sense impressions, chases after greed, after aversion, after delusion. The mind proliferates like this. So we train the mind to be on the right path, which is the path of virtue, collectedness, and wisdom, or sila, samadhi, panya. So we train in the Dhamma to develop the mind to become clearer. And this is something of great importance. This practice is something of great importance to make the mind higher and better, to reduce the greed, aversion, and delusion. And we contemplate the Dhamma as well. This can bring us to the highest, which is seeing the Dhamma, attaining to the Dhamma. This can happen through listening to the Dhamma or contemplating the Dhamma. So we listen to the Dhamma on the outer level. And we see that in the time of the Buddha, that people listened to the Buddha himself speak on Dhamma, or listened to the Sangha who had practiced well already. Even some stream enters who were teaching the Dhamma many people through listening to that were able to see the Dhamma following them, a great number. Nowadays we have the great masters, the Krubajans, like Venerable Ajahn Mun, Venerable Ajahn Chah, who've practiced to reach the level of full awakening or arahantship. So we see that this is part of our right view, that there's those who've practiced well, those who've practiced the path of virtue, collectedness, and wisdom. It's the right view to see that arahants can arise, noble ones, Arya Pugalas can arise. It's not that the Sangha is just those who've ordained with cloth, or the Arya Sangha can arise in anyone's heart, anyone's mind. It's not those who have put on the robes. So we see in this 8-day period that all of you are able to realize that if your parami is ready, if your spiritual virtues are ready, you can give rise to deep understanding. You give rise to this quality of faith that's very firm, this faith that's unwavering in Dhamma practice. And this is one who sees the drawbacks in the agitated and busy mind. And it's therefore we apply ourselves to the practice. May you set your hearts well on this. You have this good opportunity. This is a great blessing. So may you endeavor to have mindfulness. And if you like to meditate on Buddho Dhammo Sangho, then do that a lot. Do that all throughout the day. Or you can chant Itibiso or Suakato, Supatipanno. Any chant you can do. Whatever chant brings the mind to peace most easily. May you endeavor and have effort with that chant. And throughout the day, have as much mindfulness as you can. Whether standing, walking, sitting, or lying down, have mindfulness. Keep a watch or control your behavior as you come and go. And practice, whether you're eating, swallowing, or chewing, drinking, moving, or being still, speaking, or being silent, not to think about anything outside of what you're doing, but to have mindfulness in the present moment. And when mindfulness is firmly established in the present moment, then wisdom can arise. This is wisdom arising from samadhi, from collectedness. Venerable Ajahn Chah gave a clear comparison to understand this. He said it's like lifting a knife. One grabs the handle, and that's virtue. And then the blade is firmly established, mindfulness and samadhi, and the edge is wisdom. And so we give rise to knowledge and understanding. In the beginning, we see that this material form, feeling, perceptions, mental formations, sense consciousness. We can also say rupa and nama, materiality and mentality. So we understand already that these are unstable, stressful, and not self. We understand that first as a foundation, but it's an understanding through listening and thinking. It's not yet clear through wisdom. When it is clear through wisdom, then the defilements are destroyed in the mind. Just like the group of five ascetics, they understood clearly and realized stream entry, and soon afterward realized full awakening or arahantship. They listened to the Dhamma twice and realized arahantship. So they had built sila, samadhi, and panya, virtue, collectedness, and wisdom to a great deal already. One can't even count how many lifetimes they'd already built it. And we ourselves have built these qualities to a great deal already as well. and brings us to this life where we can understand the Dhamma through wisdom. So may you strive in your practice and strive in virtue as well. For myself, when I wasn't yet monastic, I was the same as all of you. I was interested in Dhamma, I was listening to Dhamma, practicing Dhamma. And I was listening to the Dhamma, and I wasn't thinking about anything, and my mind was able to see clearly that everything, all material form, all mentality is empty. And all the names in the world that we know, they're all just convention, all samuti. Male and female is just convention. Monk, novice, or lay person is just convention. These four elements, these five khandhas. And so knowing this clearly. Just like when the mind gathers in samadhi, mind gathers in collectedness, then at that point there's no conventions left. There's no feeling that there's a self in the body. It's just samadhi and stillness. Just like the Brahma deities, it's said that they have no male or female, it's just the mind still in samadhi. And then once the mind starts to proliferate, one knows that as it arises. One sees samuti, sees convention, sees everything as empty right there. This is the mind seeing the truth. And when one sees the truth like this, then one has strong faith. The faith that we have every day becomes very firm, very strong in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. And then we see that everything in the world is uncertain. All our lives are uncertain. And we're all chasing or running towards old age, sickness, and death, circling back to old age, sickness, and death. There's nothing stable, nothing lasting in any of it. And that which is in charge, that which we can't fight against, that's in charge of everything we can't oppose, is this old age, sickness, and death. These are things that no one wants, but everyone must get. And ignorance then takes us to be born and dying again, born and dying again. It's beyond count. We can't even count how many millions of years we've been cycling like that. If the mind doesn't see the truth, if it doesn't see that everything is empty. And when the mind does see clearly, sees that all things are empty, then the experience of old age, sickness, and death that we'll have to receive becomes less. There's no eighth lifetime. It's just seven lifetimes at most left. So may all of you strive in this lifetime to be able to know and see clearly. May you have a lot of mindfulness. So I believe that all of you on this retreat have virtue already, whether the five precepts or the eight precepts sometimes, and for the nuns having more than eight precepts. So this is the foundation that you have already. So now all that's left for you to do is to have effort, to persevere, to apply yourselves. You have faith already, so now you have to have effort to train the mind to be gathered in collectedness, to give rise to wisdom, to know clearly. It's not beyond your capacity. Just like we have effort in our lives to study in school, to get various degrees and achieve various professions, like becoming a business person or a doctor or architect and so on. See, these are things that we have effort in since we're young children. We study, to learn to write, to learn to read. We have effort to do that until all the way up to the present day where we're able to support ourselves. So we train in the Dhamma to bring the mind to collectedness in order for the path of virtue, collectedness, and wisdom to arise. That which we call the Noble Eightfold Path, or for short, Sila, Samadhi, Panya. So we have effort in this to have a lot of mindfulness and samadhi, to give rise to wisdom, to give rise to clear knowing, to clear understanding. I wasn't ordained yet, and I wasn't thinking about it. I was just taking the eight precepts like all of you and listening to the Dhamma, contemplating the Dhamma of Venerable Ajahn Chah. I was able to see clearly. And so we see when that happens that really the thing of value is the Dhamma. So may you all set your hearts on this, and may you all succeed in your Dhamma practice.